Our second reading for today comes from John chapter 21, verses 1 through 19. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas, called the Twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We'll go with you." They went out and got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there, with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come, have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" Because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Shepherd my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and to go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, Jesus said to him, "Follow me." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. When Jesus talks with Peter, he not only undoes Peter's denials from the night of his arrest by asking him three times, "Do you love me?" but he also commissions Peter at the same time, this time not as a fisher of men, but as a fellow shepherd. There are poems and songs and stories all over the Bible referring to God and or Jesus as the good shepherd. So Jesus' commandment to feed my lambs and shepherd my sheep is significant. Peter is being called to a ministry of showing God's care for God's people. We live in the pages between Peter's call to shepherd God's people and the day that we will be led to springs of life by the Good Shepherd in eternity. Between the Gospels and Revelation are the New Testament letters, each one written to a different community for a different purpose. Some are full of both chastisement and encouragement for a community of believers struggling to keep it together in the face of harsh circumstances. Some are written to individuals, giving instructions for their life and their ministry. Some are more like sermons or lectures, imparting theological principles and correcting misguided teachers. Those pages are messy. The early church was just as fractured, confused, and petty as any Christian denomination is today. The major difference, though, is they didn't have social media or email, so they had to yell at each other through letters. Remind me around Christmas time to tell you about the legend of St. Nicholas and Arius at the Council of Nicaea. The pastors are all giggling because they know that story. We live in the years, the centuries between Christ's resurrection and the redemption of all things. And in that space, there is plenty of room for conflict, doubt, despair, all sorts of other diversions vying for our energy, distracting us from the call of Jesus. Follow me. Do what I did. Say what I said. Live as I lived. Feed my lambs, Jesus says. Shepherd my sheep. There are a lot of myths out there, especially in churches, about sheep and shepherds. It's true that sheep are fully domesticated animals and were very much so in Jesus' time. It's also true that they are not quite as smart as, say, working breed dogs. But they're also not total space cadets. They're quite docile most of the time, but they can be stubborn. And if left unsupervised for too long, they tend to get themselves into predicaments that they can't fix on their own. Sound familiar? The other thing about domestic sheep is that they absolutely require humans and human intervention in order to survive. We bred sheep over thousands of years to retain their wool coats instead of shedding them, like dogs or cats do, so that we could harvest it and use it. If they're not sheared, their wool fleece will just keep growing, eventually causing that sheep's demise, either from exhaustion and overheating or by getting snagged on something and the sheep being unable to remove themselves. Sheep are also extremely vulnerable to predators because they require a lot of land in order to graze appropriately, so they can't really be kept in small pens the way that chickens can, for example. This is why for centuries, shepherds all over the world have relied on guardian dogs to live among the sheep and help protect them. But it's also been proven by several studies that sheep do indeed bond with humans. They can learn their own names and answer to them, much like a dog would, and they can recognize distinct faces and voices. All of these characteristics are what make the shepherd's role, caring for and protecting the sheep, possible. A good shepherd is not managing flocks of hundreds of animals in open fields by controlling each and every sheep and their movements and their behaviors. A good shepherd instead relies on trust, recognition, and the occasional redirection for the sheep who get distracted and wander off. So let's bring the metaphor back around. Jesus is our good shepherd. And 98% of the time, in this metaphor found throughout the Bible, we are the sheep. We are the ones in need of help, guidance, care, and comfort. And come heaven or high water, the promise remains that in God's eternal kingdom, we will be welcomed, fed, cared for, healed, and safe. That alone is a promise worth celebrating, worth clinging to for our whole lives, because nothing that we experience in the here and now can change that promise. But in the meanwhile, we also heed Jesus' call to feed my lambs and shepherd my sheep. We have the opportunity every day to bring a little tiny bit of this vision to earth, to wipe away tears, to ensure folks are taken care of, to guide and shelter and protect one another. Of all the directions that Jesus could have given Peter in this moment, he chooses the metaphor of shepherd and sheep. Jesus does not say, train my army or build my kingdom. He says, if you love me, feed my lambs, shepherd my sheep. Shepherding, with people as with sheep, is relational work. It requires you to build up trust over time, to provide good and nurturing things, to encourage rather than demand, to correct gently and only with a very good reason, to bring out what is good and true and beautiful in others, and sometimes to let folks make decisions about their own lives that you disagree with. When we resort to control tactics in an attempt to force others to believe or behave a certain way, shame, threats, manipulation, coercion, punishment, demands, we dishonor the call of Christ to be shepherds for one another as he is our good shepherd. In the Presbyterian Church, we often say that Christ alone is Lord of the conscience, which means that we can disagree pretty significantly on a lot of things and still worship and work together, precisely because we trust in each and every person's ability to follow God's call for their hearts and their lives. And we also trust that God is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love for us. If you've been in my office down the hall, you may have noticed that I have several poems framed on the wall. One of them is from poet and artist Lori Hattin, which says, "But grace. Grace is the gift that in some miraculous and perplexing way smiles at our abysmal efforts and says, I'll take it from here, all the way home." Friends, as we care for one another, let us always err on the side of compassion, knowing that grace will indeed lead us home to our good shepherd. Thanks be to God. Amen.